As we dive in to the Word of God this morning, I invite you to pray along with me. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant us that we may in such a way hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 is where we will be at today. Got a longer section, a longer story that we're going to journey through this morning. These two sections that we're going to participate in this morning are two of my favorite stories. I think I have preached on Luke 10 maybe more than any other section of Scripture since my time here. Ephesians 2 would probably be the only other like chapter of Scripture that I've spent the majority of time on preaching-wise. But Luke chapter 10 is a favorite for me. And I want to begin our time with a promise this morning. And the early invitation, before we get into the meat and the heart of the text and of the sermon, is an invitation for you to actually believe this promise. And if you believe it, it will transform the rest of your life. It will transform the way you see each and every single day of your life. And the promise is this. God delights in using ordinary people to deliver extraordinary qualities of who He is. If you believe that, if you choose to trust that that statement is true and for you, it will change everything about your life. It'll change how you see your relationships. It'll change how you see your job. It'll change how you see your place in the neighborhood, wherever you may be at in life, whatever season you may be out. It will transform everything in the way that you see about your life. That God delights in using ordinary people to deliver extraordinary qualities of who He is. And this is written all over the Bible. You name the character, Moses, Ruth, Esther, David, Jeremiah. Listen very, very quickly to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And here's Jeremiah's response to such a declaration. "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I don't know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." So already within our time this morning, I hope you have noticed a theme from the Word of God, encouraging us, inviting us, challenging us to not be afraid. To not be afraid. The second one, very, very quickly, that I want to draw our attention to is Amos. So we've got this young man in Jeremiah. We don't know how old he is. He could have been teenagerish, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, something like that. And now we've got country boy Amos right here, a man after my own heart. Amos chapter 7, beginning in verse 10. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. "Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words, for this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land." Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there. and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. And listen to Amos's response. I was neither a prophet nor the disciple of a prophet. I didn't go to prophet school. I have no degrees on my wall. I did not go to seminary. Instead, I was a country bumpkin shepherd. And I also took care of sycamore fig trees. I was a farmer, and God called me to go out and deliver extraordinary qualities of who He is. Jeremiah was a 13, 14, 15-year-old young man who sounds an awful lot like Moses when he says, I can't speak. And yet God used him to deliver extraordinary qualities of who he is. And this morning, when we look at Luke chapter 10, I hope that you see and that you hear and that the Lord uses this text to send your imagination on fire about how you can live into and live out of this story. Another two things I want to draw our attention to before we get into the heart of our text. And you all have heard me say this before, and I'm extremely passionate because I very much believe this is a part of why we get together. We gather in order to scatter. If you think about the amount of time that we spend together in this building on a weekly basis, whether you're here for when we start at 8:55 for class and you're here all the way through 11:15, whether you come here throughout the week, whether you're here for Bible study on Wednesday night, whether you're here for Thursday morning ladies Bible study, if you think about the amount of times that you're actually here during the week compared to where you're at elsewhere throughout the week, we all spend very little time here, except for me and Keely and a few others. But we spend very, very small amount of our weekly time here. We gather to embrace, to encourage, to equip, to be scattered out to engage the world in whatever that looks like for us. Wherever God has us in our neighborhood, wherever God has us in our family, wherever God has us in our careers, our jobs, our seasons in life, we gather here in order to be scattered out into the world. And the second thing, and I hope that the Gospel of Luke has done this to you since we've started at the beginning of January. The good news of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, always radically draws us into the heart of God and then sends us out radically for the good of the world. I hope that the gospel that we've gone through so far this year has done that to you. I hope that it has drawn you into the heart of who God is, as Jesus is unpacking about who God the Father really, truly is. And then as you go about your week, as you go about your life, that is impacting and influencing every area of your life. So for our text this morning in Luke chapter 10, there are three things that I want you to be thinking about, to be chewing on, to allowing the Holy Spirit to do something in you and through you. The first one is, who are my people? Who are my people in my life? On a daily, on a weekly basis. Who are my people? The second one is this, where are my places? Where is God placing me on a daily and weekly basis? And three, with those people in those places, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? What is my role? What am I called to do with the people in the places that God has placed me? We all on board? Everybody good? I know Dave's here. Anybody else? Anybody else here? We good? Do I need to rewind and start all over? We good? Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Actually, hold on. Stephen, go back to Luke chapter 9, verse 51. There is this key moment within Luke's gospel where the story changes. There is this significant transition that takes place. And it's right here in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. As the time approached for him, referring to Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And we can just read that and be like, okay, let's just move on. But this is a potential significant point in Luke's storytelling, where Jesus is going in one direction, but he resolutely stops and says, now is the time. And he makes his heart, his direction, his feet, his mission is now going towards Jerusalem, which we know the story is where the cross is, where resurrection, it's where his destination is going, it's where his destiny is headed. And Luke is very, very intentional about doing that. This word resolutely, you can almost put in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Do not be afraid, for I am with you wherever you go. Jesus is living out of Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, by resolutely setting his direction towards Jerusalem. So now, Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If the head of the house loves peace, your peace will rest on that house. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for workers deserve their wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. So what we see here is Jesus is sending out this second wave of followers. Earlier, Luke chapter 9, Luke sends out the 12. But this time he sends out 72 others with very similar instructions about how they are to go about their mission. And what I find really, really interesting is that all other world religions teach in some way, shape, form, or fashion that if you want to make it to the afterlife, if you want to make it to heaven, if you want to appease the gods, the forces that are at work in this world that you cannot control, you have to keep these rules. You have to jump through these hoops, climb into this ladder of morality, But then Jesus bursts on the scene. And it's no longer about you and I ascending our way to God. It's about a God who descended his way to you and I. It is about God becoming flesh and coming to us. Jesus, in his very nature, is a God who is sent to us. And after he gathers his disciples, he gathers them together, after they see, after they experience the goodness of who God really, truly is, then the time comes for them to be sent. They gather in order to be scattered. And his directions to the sent ones are simply this. And this is where it gets tough. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it becomes less academic, less historical, less this is a really profound story. This is where it becomes to the heart of the matter, if you will. His instructions to them are, will you trust? Will you trust me to be at work in the houses that you are about to go to? Will you trust me as I send you out that you can actually do what I am sending you out to do? Will you trust me? That's where the rubber meets the road for all of us in our lives. Will we trust Jesus that he is a truth teller? And his truth statement to us is, yes, you can. Yes, you can go out and do this. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I am with you. Yes, you can live out the way that I'm commanding you to live out your life. It is for your good, and there's no greater way of life. Yes, you can. We no longer wait for the world to come to us, but we are commissioned, we are empowered to go to the world with a message of love, with a message of hope, with a message of goodness, with a message of real peace, with the message of Jesus, the good news of the gospel. In other words, the rule and reign of God, what Jesus has been proclaiming all throughout Luke's gospel. So again, our time together, our gathering together, our worship together, our embracing and our encouraging and our equipping, we gather in order to be scattered out into the world. So, who are your people? Where are your places? And what is your purpose? There are some towns named in these first 16 verses that were meant to draw their attention. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, all Jewish towns for the most part. More Jews than Gentiles would have lived in those towns. And he says, you're not living out the rule and reign of God. You are failing to pay attention to your people and your places and your purpose. Your purpose has gotten kind of misdirected a little bit. Wake up. Wake up, wake up. It'd be like Nashville, Searcy, Dallas. Wake up, you mainly known to be religious towns and areas and cities. Wake up. It will be bearable for San Francisco on the day of judgment than it will be for you. It'll be more bearable for Vegas. It'll be more bearable for New York. It'll be more bearable for Los Angeles than it will be for you. That's the shock and awe of Jesus' teaching here. Wake up, people of God. You have forgotten your mission. You have forgotten your agenda. You have forgotten your life that you are to live out. Wake up. So who are your people? Where are your places? And what is your purpose? From Luke chapter 4 onward, Jesus has been living out exactly what he said he was going to do. Proclaiming good news to the poor. Release of captivity from prisoners. Liberating people from bondage. Giving them hope. Giving them purpose. Setting them free. Jesus has been living that out from the moment that he spoke it. And now he sends these 72 out to be about the same thing. Go and do what I have been doing. And what I find really, really interesting is before Jesus goes to these towns, he does what? He sends them first. He sends them ahead of him. When I look back over my life in one particular family that had such a profound influence in my life, before Jesus came in and kind of played cleanup to what they had started, not in a negative way. They were like batters 1, 2, and 3, and Jesus came in as the number 4 batter, and it was a grand slam. But the family that God brought into my life to help me redirect my life, because I had forgotten who I was, I'd forgotten my purpose. This family was a living example of Luke chapter 10 for me. They came in proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And then Jesus followed them up. Could that not be true to someone here in this room? Could that not be true of some family in this room, some couple in this room? That God is using you to prepare the way for Jesus in a person's life, in a family's life, in your neighbor's life, in your coworker's life, in one of your students' lives. How can Luke chapter 10 be more than just about a story that took place almost 2,000 years ago, but a real life, flesh and blood story that we live into and that we live out from? Because we want to be on mission with Jesus. He is sending us ahead of him in some people's lives. Who are your people? Where are your places? And what is your purpose with those people in those places? Now, I would not be doing this story justice if I didn't mention a really difficult thing in this text. Jesus says, before he gets into the nitty-gritty, before he gets into the specifics, Jesus says, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. What he is saying from the get-go is this is not going to be easy. This is going to be tough. Know ahead of time the difficulty that this will be. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. But go anyways, because I am with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I am with you the entire way. Will you trust me to be with you? So the three questions. Who are the people? Who are your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors? The lady that you see at the coffee shop every day, the people that you see at the gym, grocery store, your students, these people are not there by chance. They are there because God has strategically placed them in your life. What are we going to do about it? Where are your places? Where are the places you go multiple times a week? Your workplace, your home, your neighborhood, your school, the university that you're a part of, your classroom. And the third question, what is your purpose? Are you simply existing in these places God has placed you? Or are you advancing the kingdom of God in those places? So before we finish out the story this morning, I invite you for just a moment to sit and to think about people, places, purpose. Allow God to put a face in your mind Allow God to speak a name to your mind. Allow God to speak a place. And allow God to reveal to you how you can live out kingdom of God purpose within those people and those places. We'll take just a few moments. The declaration is, we are sent by God to tell the world and to show the world that they are loved by God. So, as the story somewhat comes to a completion, picking up in verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus replied, I saw, now I've highlighted, I made it all caps in that word because it's a very, very important word. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. I am with you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. As we go about common obedience, God is bringing about cosmic victory. That is what I see as the 72 returned, and they're explosive with joy. This word here, karas, this joy, it just means this explosive sense of gratitude. They're like, thank you, Jesus, for sending us on this mission. You would not believe what we did. And he's like, oh, I know what you did. Just this explosive sense of joy and gratitude and thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, the word saw is in the Greek, it's in the imperfect tense, which gives off this idea that something that took place in the past, but it's not done in the past. It is echoing into the present and into the future. It's not a one and done like we think of in the past. That would be the aorist tense. But in the imperfect tense, it is a yes, it was done once in the past, and it is still going on. It is still impacting the present, and it's still impacting, it will impact the future. Common obedience. God is bringing about cosmic victory. This isn't something that just took place once upon a time at the beginning of creation, where Jesus saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. It's in the context of common obedience. Jesus saying, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven when you obeyed. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven when you overcame. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven when you chose not to give in nor give up. Satan was dethroned when you did not give in. When you chose to overcome, when you chose obedience, Satan falls in heaven every time. Church, do we believe that when we overcome sin? Do we believe that every time we obey and live out Jesus' commands? Satan falls like lightning from heaven every single time. Do we believe that? What would happen in your life if you chose to believe that? What would happen? Two things. Position, performance. In verse chapter 19, the word authority that we have in our English Bibles, the Greek word is ouxeion. And I want you guys to hear the definition of the word authority. The right and ability to take action. The power to make a difference. According to this text, Jesus has given you and I the authority to make a difference in the lives of the people in the places that God has placed us. The right and the ability to make a difference. And I've already defined the word joy, this explosive sense of gratitude, this explosive sense of thankfulness. And verse 20 is the point. When they return and they're like, Jesus, we have done some awesome things. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus corrects them ever so subtly about their performance. And he says it's not about your performance that matters. It's about your position. It's not about your performance. It's about your position. Do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you. Do not rejoice in how well you performed. Even though what you did would have been awesome, and it was awesome, don't rejoice in your performance. Instead, rejoice in your position that you are sons and daughters of the King Most High. That is where your explosive sense of gratitude is found. In your position, not your performance. So for these two stories, it's one story with these two different themes that are going on. Please take with you the invitation to pay attention to the people, places, and purpose. And pay attention that it's not about your performance. It is and always will be about your position as being sons and daughters of the King Most High. Arise, team. You guys can come on up, please. With all the homework, with all the think on this, and here's the invitation, and pay attention to this, and pay attention to that, I'm going to give you one more thing to pay attention to. Easter, I think, is 6 weeks, maybe 5 weeks away. We have some postcards that we are inviting our church family to grab a hold of a few and to hand deliver these to coworkers, to neighborhood folks, to who are your people? Where are your places? I'm giving you a purpose to hand out these invitations for them to come and join us on Easter Sunday. We have about 250 of these. They are in our welcome center, kind of right out there on the little side of it. So please grab a few and deliver these to the folks that you know that you would like for them to come and join us to celebrate Easter together. On Easter Sunday. Going to pray for us as we transition into worship. We're going to be singing Waymaker, which is an extremely powerful, powerful song. And may you continue to use this song as a means of God making a way for you to think about people, places, and purpose. God maybe even clearing the way for you to think about, it's not about my performance, but it's about my position in my relationship with the Lord. However you need to respond to the Waymaker song, we pray that you do. If you would like to receive prayers from your church family, I will be down here to receive you. If you would like a more intimate setting, a more private setting, one of our shepherds will be in our prayer room. But let's pray together, and after we pray, we'll spend some time in worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, thank you for the story of Luke 10. I pray, God, that each and every single one of us would take seriously the invitation of this story. God, help us to be open to receive the people and the places and the purpose that you have called us to. May we be willing to step out in courage and to resolutely set ourselves in their direction, to share with them how good you are and how awesome you are, what joy there is in being in relationship with you. I pray, Father, that you would remind us that it's not about our doing, it's not about our performing, but it is about our position with you. And God, we praise you and we thank you for this. Through Christ we pray together. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship together.